to me, okay, to me. Ultimately, martial art means honestly expressing yourself. Now, it is very difficult to do. I mean, it is easy for me to put on a show and be cocky,
yeah,
and be flooded with a cocky feeling and then, yeah, feel like pretty cool and all that. Or I can make all kinds of phony things, you see what I mean, blinded by it. Or I can show you some really fancy movement. But to express oneself honestly, not lying to oneself, and to express myself honestly, you know, that, my friend, is very hard to do. And you have to train. You have to keep your reflexes so that when you want it, it's there. When you want to move, you're moving. And when you move, you are determined to move. Not taking 1 inch, not anything less than that. If I want to punch, I'm going to do it, man. And I'm going to do it, you see. So I mean...
So my best buddy Andrew's father passed away unexpectedly, and we spent most of the day yesterday at the funeral and the reception and drinking with buddies and comforting Andrew, and we were family friends, so my dad came to the funeral, and it was a bit of a surprise because he texted me in the morning. He said, hey, send me the address. I didn't expect him to come, so I texted him. I sent him the address of the funeral parlor, and he was there, and we had showed up, you know, in separate cars. And it was a lovely funeral. Andrew spoke so beautifully about his father and about what a guy he was. And he was, he really was a generous, loving human being. But it was funny because we were there and my dad was there and I didn't really see my dad for most of it. We talked very briefly and then he left early and I went drinking out with the guys after the ceremony, and then we met up and drank later. And this morning, it was really funny, my dad's phone, it always pocket dials me, and he calls me every day, at least twice a day, and I get these 5-minute long voicemails on my phone from his pocket dial, and I'll usually listen to it just to make sure it's not anything important. And I usually listen for about a minute, and then this morning, it was there, I missed a call, and there was a 5-minute message waiting for me, and I listened to the whole thing. And it was, I could hear the muffling, you know, the muffled sounds of people in his pocket. And I know he was in a car. I know that because I heard ding, 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 you know, the car makes that sound, and then the door closed. And then I just listened to people as he talked to them, muffled in his pocket. And I don't know, I guess I'm thinking about relationships right now. I have no idea who you are or why you're listening to this. And that makes it really strange. This process of just telling you my thoughts is very strange because I don't know what you think. And I don't know why we're having a conversation. This isn't a conversation. And that's weird to me because I make theater. That's the art that I've chosen to make. And at the core, why I do it is that it is a conversation. I can see an audience. I can see their reaction. I can feel their reaction. And I often know who they are and what at least what I want to say. And in this instance, I have neither of those. I'm in a hotel in Jaipur. It's 3 a.m. I'm jet lagged. Last week I was in Bombay, and my friend tells me that in India you have these gated communities all over the place, and people invest a lot of money in the infrastructure that's inside their own gated community because they want to make it look better, and outside the gate they don't invest. So the infrastructure of neighborhoods is really falling apart. And it really made me think about the institutions, performing arts institutions across Canada. And I really feel that they subscribe to this philosophy. And their definition of the word community is very different from mine.
Traffic in India is like one of the most exciting things you could ever experience. A 3-lane, you know, street has like 6 cars in it, 2 auto rickshaws and motorcyclists all trying to cram through to get to one place. It seems like it shouldn't work, but somehow it does. It's total chaos. And the key is that everyone's actually listening to each other and reacting to all the movements of all the people. And if we were back home in Toronto and someone said, we're going to take this 3-lane highway or street and turn it into a 6-lane highway, they'd say, it's impossible. It could never work. People are going to die. There'll be accidents everywhere. But when you come here, you see that it can work, that it's possible. So when I'm back home and someone tells me that anything is impossible, an idea or anything, I never believe them. Because unless they've sat and ridden in an auto rickshaw in a major city in India.
When I was young, I used to be really ashamed of all things Indian. I was really embarrassed by, you know, the music, the food, and I was always meant to feel like I was lesser, like nothing good ever came out of here. They were so backwards. But, you know, I spent all day yesterday at a Mughal emperor's palace, and he made all these innovations and experiments and discoveries around, you know, math, science, art, and the planets long before the Europeans did. And as I grew older and I learned about this stuff, I went through a real period of rage at the fact that Europe basically came here to steal all this information and claim it as their own, and that, you know, India and the Middle East provided light for the dark ages of Europe so that they could learn. And, you know, my heroes, I saw them differently. Peter Brook, Aryan Manushkin, these people who came here to take and reappropriate, and they were the ones who were the heroes, not anyone from the source. And now I've sort of passed through that rage, and I've really come to terms with just a confidence and a pride of being part of this ancient tradition, this with complex art and architecture and science that a lot of people in the West don't even understand. I'm from the West, I don't even understand it, but I'm associated with it, it's in my blood. And in 2007, I met this incredible UK director named Jitinder Verma, and he said that, you know, that our roots provided new routes for creation. And essentially that your culture didn't hinder you, it made you part of the avant-garde. And ever since I've really come to embrace this idea, I've really seen myself as very confident in the kind of perspective that I have, that it's part of the avant-garde, it's part of the new. And this new vision is extremely powerful and bold and linked to a real ancient tradition in the past. And so I encourage you to Google Satyajit Ray, Ustad Nasrat Fateh Ali Khan, Zakir Hussain, Ratan Thiam. Go look. That's the source. As it turns out, many of the founding fathers of the American Revolution were younger than 40 years old in 1776, with several qualifying as founding teenagers or 20-somethings. And though the average age of the signers of the Declaration of Independence was 44, more than a dozen of them were 35 or younger. At the time of the revolution, they were all young. It was a young man's, young woman's cause. I've been reading about Ferguson, Missouri, and all of what's going down around the shooting of Mike Brown. And just yesterday, the Missouri chapter of the KKK threatened a bunch of the protesters. And it's so weird to be looking at these images of the KKK and all this racial violence that literally looks like it should be coming out of the 50s and 60s America. But it's happening right now. I've been sick for the past couple of days, and so I decided to go on WebMD to self-diagnose to see maybe what I have. And I typed in my symptoms, and it bounced me around to a couple pages. And by the end of it, I'm pretty convinced that I either have H1N1, which is the bird flu, or I have meningitis. So the internet has just caused me anxiety. I was at a meeting last night, and a woman was talking about stress, and she equated it to secondhand smoke. And she was saying, you know, it's the real killer, an invisible killer of our times, that families are coming home with parents who are very, very stressed. And that stress is an invisible sort of killer that's impacting their kids around them. And as they grow up, kids are becoming more and more stressed. I just read this morning that Germany passed a law that in 2016, 30% of supervisory board positions have to be filled by women because they're often excluded from major companies and positions of power. And I used to argue with people all the time about change and how it has to happen. And one of my arguments often was, you know, policy, and that, you know, arts councils should mandate that companies have to diversify the artists they work with, include more women, you know, on their boards and the artists that they work with, you know, and diversify because the change isn't happening. So let's force it to happen, because if we truly believe that these things should happen, it's actually a human rights issue and that it should happen. But what's standing in the face of change? So let's mandate it.
And people would, you know, argue with me all the time, you know, how can we let government or policy determine? That's a dangerous territory. I really don't think it is. And I really think it's a bold move for Germany to do that because, you know, there was a time when people didn't wear seatbelts. And now, if you don't wear one, you get a ticket. And you need it because if you don't wear one, you'll die.
I'm living in the 21st century, doing something mean to it, do it better than anybody I ever seen do it, scream from the haters, got a nice ring to it, I guess every superhero need his theme music, no one man should have all that power, the clock's ticking, I just count the hours, stop tripping, I'm tripping off the power. The system's broken, the school's closed, the prison's open. We ain't got nothing to lose, motherfucker, we rollin'. Huh? Motherfucker, we rollin'. With some light-skinned girls and some Kelly Rowlands. In this white man world, we the ones chosen. So good night, crew world, I see you in the morning. Huh? I see you in the morning. This is way too much, I need a moment. No one man should have all that power. The clock's ticking, I just count the hours. Tripping, I'm tripping off the power. Till then, fuck that, the world's ours.